praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, it's, of course, we know natural things, you know, that are going on. And of course, there's some things that don't look really good if you don't know that's happening out there, and especially in the government and stuff. But the Lord's really stirred it on my heart lately to pray more for the government. And I think that's something that we're all called to do. I know He's been doing it in our leaders as well, other people in the ministry. Praise the Lord. And so it's just really important that we keep doing that, not just at church. Praise the Lord. We teach people how to pray, but, you know, when we go home, we need to release faith. Whenever you see something that isn't right, you need to release faith and pray and pray for change, because there's some bad times coming if we don't. It's been prophesied. There's been some things coming that we need to pray against. Amen. And I'm not trying to be a fear monger or put you know, scare people or anything like that. But the truth is the truth. Amen. And we need to be well aware that, you know, if the church doesn't pray, especially in this hour, that there could be some very bad things that happen in this nation. We're on the brink of it already. We've seen things that collapse that we never imagined has been right on the border, and you know, I my kids are growing older, you know, and they're growing older fast. But so I even some of those things I won't have to worry about as much. But you know, they're going to want kids, I'm sure, and when they have kids, you know, those kids are going to be facing a lot. So we need to make sure that we're praying for this nation, amen, and protecting it for the years to come, because the devil, like I said, is working overtime to try to stop us. But we're not going to let him, amen. Praise the Lord, not on our watch. Praise the Lord, amen. Glory to God. Well, tonight's message is called Superstitious Supposition. Praise the Lord. That's kind of there's a couple big words there. Hallelujah. And at least one of them is too big for me. I had to look it up. See, I actually was this afternoon as I was, you know, working on this message, and Lord was bringing this. This actually came out of my spirit, this phrase, superstitious supposition. I had to look it up because I had to see if it was actually something, or if I was just, you know, had, you know, too much bagel this morning or something like that. You know, I wanted to make sure that it was the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's actually very interesting. You know, the word supposition is it means uncertain belief. Praise the Lord. And what the basis of this message was, you know, I said to my wife this morning, I think I said to her this morning, I didn't have anything yet to preach for tonight. And as I had dropped my daughter off at school, I was leaving and just driving. And I think I was listening to a new Christian song that I had downloaded. Just, you know, it's something that, you know, the Lord will stir things through you in different ways, and sometimes through music, amen. And I was listening to this song, and then there's, I don't know, it was just a word in there that caught my attention, the attention of my spirit, and then this whole message kind of was birthed out of that, amen. And what the idea is, you know, I talk a lot about how a lot of Christians are superstitious, and that's kind of what we're dealing with today. We're going to see, we're going to talk about sin tonight. We're going to talk about, you know, the faith and what God does and doesn't do. But, you know, a lot of Christians think of God in a superstitious way. They think that, you know, if they screwed up here, that God's going to, he's going to smite them over here. Or if they got smote over here, they're thinking, well, they must have screwed up over there, you know. And so we want to get that kind of thinking out of us. You know, there's been times I've even had temptation. I'll tell you just the truth, amen. You know, I like to speak the truth, amen. Just let it all hang out, as it were, amen. And sometimes I'll even think, man, you know, that thought will come across my mind, like, well, that was an unlucky pair of shoes that I wore. You know what I mean? Or an unlucky tie or something like that. Or I preached a really good message in this suit, so I'm going to wear this one again. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes those thoughts will come. Like I said, I don't sit there and base my life on those thoughts. You understand? But there are thoughts that come nonetheless. You know, and of course, you can apply that at any area in your life. But Christians tend to be, religious people tend to get very superstitious. Amen. In fact, we see this in some denominations specifically that are overly religious denominations. What I mean by that is denominations are more void of the Spirit, amen? Yeah. That they focus on maybe religious aspects or rules and regulations and not so much the Spirit of things. You know, rules are good, regulations are good, but we have to have the Spirit too. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, we get very religious. And what religious people do is they get superstitious, yeah. Yeah. Amen? They'll start thinking, they'll start looking for signs. Everything is a sign. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We got to stop. We can't think everything is a sign. Right. God doesn't do that. The Bible says He gave us His Holy Spirit. We ain't looking for signs.
Right.
I'm not saying that God can't use signs, but you know, in fact, we know that He will. Yeah. We know that He does. Yeah. But we really need to understand this. And I would gather that this is probably more truth than even I realize at the moment. But the signs that God will use more or less have already been told to us in the Bible.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, the things that He's told us to look for, the signs in the moon, signs in the stars, signs in the earth, praise the Lord. These signs we can pretty much bank on because He already told us that there were signs to look for. Amen.
Right.
But other than that, beyond that, God isn't leading us by signs. No. Amen. We don't fleece God. We don't, if you don't know what that is, well, just ask me sometime. We'll talk about it. We don't draw straws to see if God, you know, God will make us pick. No, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to lead us and guide us. Amen. Fleecing God, I better just tell you, was what we used to, back in the Old Testament, before they had the Spirit of God, amen, they would lay out a fleece. And they would ask for something from God, and what ended up a fleece being like an actual fleece off a lamb, you know, the skin off a lamb. They lay it out, and if there was, you know, they lay it out in the morning. If there was no dew on it in the morning, then it meant they got their answer or something like that, you know, in that nature. That so that when we say fleecing God, that's what we're talking about. But it's kind of putting God to the test and say, show me a sign.
Yeah.
We don't need, God's not showing us signs. We don't need signs because we have the Holy Spirit. People in the Old Testament, they did not have the Holy Spirit. They drew straws for things, and the biggest straw meant this is the one, you know, praise God, that's in the Bible. Amen.
Yeah.
But how many know we don't do that? Amen. Amen. Religion does those things because that's what they know of God. They don't understand God from a spiritual aspect. Amen. And so we're going to be looking at sin tonight, but we're also going to be looking at it from the standpoint of He's not trying to find ways to punish us. Amen. And this is a very important thing that Christians need to understand, is that God is not just sitting up there waiting for you to screw up to try to figure out some way to punish you. In fact, if we really understand it, God's really not looking to punish us at all. I said God's not looking to punish us at all. That doesn't mean we won't be punished. That means that sin won't be dealt with. Of course, it will be. But God's not looking to do it. Amen. And it's very important for us to understand that. In fact, the Bible tells us over and over, God speaks of unimaginable mercy. He talks about, that's when Jesus came. And you think about what it would take and what people did and how vile they were. And Jesus still said, you know, when we see the ones that were scourging Jesus, they were beating Him and whipping Him and spitting on Him and punching Him and doing all these things. And He said, Lord, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That's unimaginable mercy. So listen, if you screwed up a little bit today, you ain't punched Jesus in the face yet.
Yeah.
You ain't spit on the bloodied Savior yet. No. Amen. You haven't whipped the back of Him yet. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we all we all kind of did that anyways, because that's what sin did to Him. But you understand what I'm saying is you probably, if you have a heart after God, you probably haven't screwed up that bad.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll go even as far as to say this. One of the things the devil loves to do is take well-meaning good people that are hungry for the Lord and just beat the snot out of them in their minds. And it's just not God. And if it's not God, it's not something we need to accept.
Right.
Amen?
Yep.
Listen, there's a few basic things that I have to live by. Because I'm just not smart enough to get in and have all different kinds of, see all different angles and stuff like that. I need God. I need a Savior on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I was going to the Lord just this afternoon and I was just pleading with Him, Lord, just help me with this. This one thing, this area of my life that I know that I need to fix and I just have a hard time with it. And I just can't see a way out of it, but I go to God and trust Him. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. But we need to understand that God isn't trying to do things. Lord, bring that back to my memory, please. We need to understand that God isn't just trying to destroy us. He's trying to help us. Amen. He's given us such great and wonderful mercy. And so we don't want our faith to rest in some uncertain belief, but we need it to be rested in truth. Amen. Yeah. The truth of God. Praise the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit wants to help us. He's here to help us. God gave us the word to know him, yeah. Praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit to know what the word's saying, amen, and to know the mind of God. And so we mix all those things together and we have such a wonderful, wonderful trinity of things, amen. Yeah. Praise God, hallelujah. But we have to understand how sin works to separate us from God. Yeah. Sin separates us from God. So many people, they like, there's so many Christian or non-Christians. The question is out there, how can a loving God send people to hell? And the answer to that question is, our God doesn't send people to hell. God, it was unavoidable. According to, because when man stepped out, when man chose to sin, or when man chooses to sin, they remove themselves from the presence of God, and yeah. God can't make them come back.
Right.
He would have if he could, but he can't because the. And you say, well, how can God not do something? It's very simple. God can't violate his word.
Right.
He can't violate what he himself said. Because then he'd be a liar. And God is not a man that he should lie. I know in humans sometimes we'll say something. You know, I've been guilty of this with my kids. I'll say, if you don't do this, then this is going to happen. Or if you do this, then this is going to happen. Then they go do it anyways. And then I say, well, I'll give you one more chance. You know what I mean? Well, our God does that a lot too. But there's some things that, you know, if my child, for example, or our children, if they're old enough to understand and they're old enough to be able to, a child can get themselves into trouble by stepping out and doing things, amen, that they shouldn't be doing. I did that when I was younger, when I started coming into my man years, hallelujah, after being a child, you know, I still thought like a child and did things like a child. But how many know that doesn't work when you're a man? And I started getting in trouble. And there was a couple times where it brought me to the point of death even. You know, and so we have to understand that no matter how much my mom loved me, she couldn't stop that. Why? Because I had free will. No matter how much she pled with me, she couldn't stop it. Why? Because I have free will. It is the exact same thing with God.
Yeah.
The exact same thing. My mom, no different than my mom, was not looking to just beat on me and punish me when I was a child. Our God is not looking to do that with us.
Right.
But he can't stop your free will.
Right.
And so we have to understand that the whole purpose of sin, the whole thing that it does, and God didn't create sin, but the whole purpose of sin is to separate us, to remove us from God, to keep us separate from him. Because there are things when you're just, it's kind of like this, you know. When I was in my party years and doing lots of bad stuff, you know, I went to a lot of places and did a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Went to a lot of places and did a lot of things, and places that I couldn't even go into today.
Yeah.
Things that my spirit, you know, even I listened to music that I couldn't even listen to today.
Yeah.
Just because there's something behind it now, you know, I recognize that. And, you know, there were things that I did, things that I said, things that I listened to, whatever, that I couldn't do today just because of my new nature.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say can't, I mean I can't.
Yeah.
Like, it would be vile to me. It would make me sick. It'd make me ill to do that.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So it's the same. It's kind of the same way with God, is that there's certain things that God can't partake of.
Right.
God cannot partake of a sin nature.
Can't.
He can't do it.
Yeah.
He can't be part of a sin nature. And this is why it separates us. It's not because God doesn't love us. It has nothing to do with that. But here's another thing that God can't do. He can't partake of sin nature. Amen?
Yeah.
That's why the sin needed a sacrifice. It needed something to cleanse it. And that was the blood of Jesus. And aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So we have to understand that sin separates us from God. God does not separate us because of sin. Sin removes us from that position. So just like a grown child, you know, and the thing is, it's like, yes, God doesn't love sin. But, you know, in a child, if something happened to a child and a child died, you know that a child doesn't go to hell.
Right.
Right? There's some religions that teach that a child would, that if they didn't get baptized and all that stuff, that they go to hell. None of that's true. Yeah. That none of that, according to Scripture, none of that is true. Amen? That there's a time and a place. God, there's an age of accountability. We don't know exactly what that is. I have a feeling that age probably varies. Depending on a lot of factors, praise the Lord, there is a truth to that. But so God isn't just sending everybody to hell either, praise the Lord. So we have to. Why don't we go ahead and turn to Matthew 1? Praise the Lord. You know, this is something that's near and dear. This message is near and dear to my heart. I don't know if I've ever really preached this message per se, but it's near and dear to my heart because one of the things that the devil just loves to beat up on Christians.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're a Christian, especially if you're a Christian with a good heart, you're going to deal with an adverse mind, an obtuse mind, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You're going to deal with thoughts, and you'll be like, why do I always think this way, or why this, or why that? You know, those things will come to you, and you have to understand that you don't have to be your thoughts.
Right.
Your thoughts become who you are when you put them to action.
Amen.
When thoughts become actions, then that's when they conceive, that's when they are given birth.
Yeah.
To, you know, the Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what it's talking about, because as a man thinks in his heart continually, they end up doing those things. Amen. Like if you're constantly thinking about fornication, then you'll end up fornicating.
Right.
If you constantly end up or think about stealing, you're going to end up stealing. You know what I mean? It's just anything like that. Amen. And so that's why it's so important to have a renewed mind. Amen. But this, but thinking right about sin and how God reacts to sin and how we deal with sin in our flesh, this is all part of a renewed mind too. And so as Christians, we need this teaching. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It says here, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The name Jesus literally means, I had to look it up because that's what I was led to do. Amen. The name Jesus literally means Jehovah is salvation. I love that. Jehovah is salvation. But you know, it goes on to say here that he will save, for he will save his people from their sins. Glory to God. You know, the word save means to save, to deliver, or to protect, heal, preserve, save. Hallelujah. That's what save means. It means to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve. Praise the Lord. So we're not just healed, we're not just saved, but we preserved.
Yeah.
That's really interesting that's what Jesus came to do. Now you understand that salvation is not just a one-time thing. It's not just something that we receive and it's done with.
Right.
Salvation is an active force. It's like faith, because salvation is faith, praise the Lord. But it's like faith in that it's an active force. Salvation is, and that's something else that we need to look at differently. See, a lot of religious people look at salvation as just a thing you do once.
Right.
You get saved and then you're good. But that's not what salvation is. Salvation is a continual thing. Amen? And we see that there in the word preserve and preservation. That's an awesome thing. Because the salvation can preserve your life.
Yeah.
It doesn't just save your life, but it preserves it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know, how many know that you can, the old saying, if you give a person a fish, they'll eat for a day. If you give a person a fishing pole or teach them to fish, they'll eat for life. Amen.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same idea as preservation, you know, feeding somebody once. That's why we don't have certain programs in this church.
Yeah.
I know people do them out of a good heart. I know a lot of churches do things like have these programs out of a good heart, and I'm not knocking that.
Right.
But see, here's the problem is you can have a good heart or great intentions, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's doing anything.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. If you just give somebody free meals, well, praise the Lord, that's great. But what about the rest of their life? There's no preservation to that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Jesus, when he gave people, he taught the word because he wanted to give them something that was lasting.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed. That's why we do, like, we have free hot dogs and stuff like that. Why? To draw people in, to let them know that there's more to life than, you know, we don't stop at hot dogs.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or whatever we do when we handed out candy this year, you know. And that's why we don't necessarily do the same things every year. I haven't had any leading on being in the parade this year. We may or we may not be. It doesn't matter.
Right.
We just follow God.
Right.
That was to make a statement, and that's what it did. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can say it this way, though. You can say that, let's see, go back to the verse. He will heal people from their sins.
Mm-hmm.
He will preserve people from their sins.
Yeah.
He will deliver people from their sins. You understand? See, we know this. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean that everybody who gets sick just did something. Again, that would be superstitious thinking.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that that's devoid of it. Because
right.
Sometimes our actions can cause sickness.
Yeah.
But you understand, it's sin working in the world that causes all these things to happen.
Yeah.
So it's not just, it's sin, like salvation, is an active force. Amen.
Yeah.
We see in the Bible that the Bible talks about sin, how it had dominion in our bodies and it kept us in bondage. Well, how could it do that if it wasn't an active force?
Yeah.
If it was just a one-time thing, how could it, you know?
Yeah.
Conversely, if we step out of salvation into sin is like the opposite of salvation.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's the complete other end of the spectrum.
That's so good.
And so if you think of it that way, you understand that, okay, salvation, as long as I walk in line with salvation, if I stay close to it, it's kind of like, I always think of deer. Baby deer, man, they're stupid sometimes, you know? What young things are, generally. Praise the Lord. They have a little bit of stupidity in them. Naivety, I guess, or naivete, or whatever you want to say. You know, I guess is how you would want to say it. But if you watch a mother deer, and you watch them with their babies, it's always interesting, because the babies would be frolicking around, but what's a mother doing? She's watching. Why? Because she has a concept of salvation.
Right.
Yeah.
See, those deer don't have any concept of salvation.
Yeah.
They just want to play.
Yeah.
And that's the way a lot of God's people are. They have no real concept of salvation. Sure, I got saved. But no, do you live in salvation? Do you live in deliverance, in preservation? You know, there's whole deliverance. I partook of one once. I went to a church that was a little bit over the top, a little bit on the far side of where things needed to be, the fruity, flaky, nutty, the granola churches. And I went through a whole deliverance ministry where I was dealing with some things, and they put me through this deliverance ministry. It was like this hour-long session of all kinds of stuff. Amen.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is I got out on the other side of it, and it was the same person I was on the back side. Why? Because that's not what Jesus is talking about.
Right.
The only deliverance ministry we need is salvation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, salvation as an active force.
Yeah.
If we live in salvation, praise the Lord,
yeah.
we will walk free of the depression. We'll walk free of the hindrances. We'll walk free of the bondage. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And you may say to me, Pastor Jeff, well, how do you walk in salvation? How do we do that then? Just do the word.
Do the word.
You follow the Spirit and do the word.
Yeah.
See, those two things, and this is why we hammer them so much, is because if we do those things, we'll continually be preserved. You know what? I still deal with the same things I dealt with back when. In other words, the devil still throws the same. He's got the same tactics. If you dealt with one thing back when you were unsaved, those same things can still come up and try to get you.
Yeah.
But what's the difference now? Well, now I have a way of fighting it.
Yeah.
Now I have a way of not walking in it.
Right.
Amen. Now I have a way of being preserved, praise
the
Lord. And that's doing the word and following the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, just this afternoon, like I said, I was in the midst of frustration because I wanted to, there were some things I knew I needed to get to and I couldn't get there because of the flesh. The flesh was hindering me from doing it and I was frustrated, amen. And so as I was pleading with the Lord, you know what happened? The Scripture came to me. Praise the Lord. And another scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see, the scriptures that I get built in me, they come to me and then they flow. And then I pray and I say, thank you, Lord, for that. And I respond to when the Spirit talks to me.
Yeah.
Amen. And see, these are all things that we need to do. It's all part of walking out salvation. Praise the Lord. So you can say that preserve them from their sins. It's our sin that we needed saving from.
Amen.
It's our sin.
Yeah.
It's our sin. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, and we see here the will of the Father when he sent the Son. The call is named Jesus. Jehovah is salvation, is what Jesus means.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For he will save his people from their sins.
Yeah.
Their sins.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Meaning they didn't belong to God.
Right.
They belong to us.
Yeah.
Our sins are what hinder us.
Right.
Now, if you have a weakness in your flesh, something you still deal with, that is what that area can hinder you.
Right.
They all can. I mean, that part of the process of becoming a pastor was working those hindrances out of me that hindered me from ministry.
Yeah.
You understand there's things I used to do that I don't do anymore because they hindered me from ministry.
Right.
But not all sin would hinder you from ministry.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still things that I can, fall into sometimes. I can get mad at somebody. That's sin.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. As long as I'm not actively, living in wrath.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. God can still work with me. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes I'm not as consecrated as I should be. I'm not justifying any of these things, but I'm just telling you that God can still use you.
Yeah.
Amen. But some of the things there's other things that he has to work out of us. Amen. There's a lot he had to work out in me. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Romans 6:23, and that's what I was talking about, says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Yeah.
The gift of God. Praise the Lord. It's a gift he's been given to us, man. I'll tell you what. I started studying it out, and we don't have time to go into it this service. But I started studying that word gift out and that today, and that is, it's pretty amazing. It actually almost made me not even finish the message because I was studying it out. It's awesome all that's entailed in this. See, why do we study things out? Why do I get in depth? Why do I look words up? Because there's a fullness of revelation that God wants us to get out of things. Amen. And I find this, that I don't look every word up when I'm reading the Bible. When I'm preparing a message, I don't look every word up. But you know what? I'll be preparing a message. God will give me a scripture, and then I'll come across one certain word, and the Spirit will tell me, look that up.
Yeah.
Look it up. See what I meant by that.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Sometimes I go back and forth. In fact, one of the scriptures I used today was Isaiah 26:3.
Yeah.
It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you."
Yes.
And that's one of the scriptures that the Lord brought to me this afternoon. And when he brought that to me, he also said, "Look up the word stayed." That say, keep their mind stayed on you. Praise the Lord. What is that? It means to remain. It means to uphold. It means to support. It means, there's a kind of an intensity to it. You force it to be there. You know what I mean? Like, you don't just remove a support, out of a house. Praise the Lord. When Marky bought a house this year, amen, we've had to do some work to it, but we were doing some stuff with the beams underneath. Because the beams that were there were mostly not there anymore, amen. And it was being held together by, magic and fairy dust. Praise the Lord. I don't know, but it wasn't wood that was holding that house together anymore. But when we got in there, we had to shore up those things because we wanted that house to be stable. And so we did a lot of messing around and a lot of jacks here and jacks there and, moving things and praying a lot and stuff. When you got all this house over you and you're moving it, amen. But, that's exactly the way it is. Be stayed like that. It's the same thing as that word in Isaiah there. Is it, whose mind is stayed there, is supported there, is an unmovable beam. Like if you're wishy-washy in and out of the word or wishy-washy in and out of church, you'll never have the peace of God.
Right.
You never will. You can't walk in the peace of God because it's an impossibility because your mind isn't stayed there.
Amen.
Amen. And so that's exactly what we're saying. Well, that's free, no charge. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Romans 5. Praise God. We're getting help tonight. I just endeavored, we can overcomplicate everything. Amen. And I've been endeavoring lately to just follow the Lord.
Yeah.
Just like I just see God. Like, I don't even want to know. Like, one of the things, I've been praying with ministers and stuff like that and learning things about prayer. But you know what I keep coming back to? Yes, there's things that are written in the Word that help us with prayer and stuff like that, or with anything. But specifically on prayer, there's things that are written in the Word specifically that tell us specific things about prayer. It's good to know those.
Yeah.
Amen. But above and beyond that, what I've really been coming back to is just having a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Just spending time with God. Because He ain't so worried about it. When He needs you to know something, if you just spend time with God, He'll show you.
Right.
When you need something developed in you, if you spend time with God, He'll show you.
Yep.
Just let God do it.
That's right.
You know, we haven't got to get overcomplicated about our walk with God. And as people, this is what we so often do. We make this thing about God. We make it so difficult that we start losing our joy.
That's
in it.
Right.
We get our minds all twisted up and bent around things that don't matter.
That's right.
Listen. Like, even if you hear the word preach and it's bold, that's good because it'll drive things out of us.
Yeah.
But don't go home and continually just hammer yourself and say, well, I'm a worthless person. I'm terrible. I'm no good. Well, listen, if you love God and you're doing the best you know how to do, well, praise the Lord for you.
That's right.
And if you're not, then you just endeavor to do a little bit better.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Because if you don't endeavor to just do a little bit better, you never will.
That's right.
Amen? And if you sit there constantly condemning yourself, praise the Lord.
Yes.
You're never going to get anywhere either. That's, you know, I've spent most of my life in condemnation.
Yeah.
Condemning myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not good here. I'm not good here. Well, I don't need any of that.
Come on.
You don't need any of that. All you need to do is do your best to not walk in sin, to do your best to do good. Trust in God. If you do these things, He'll guide you.
Right.
He'll lead you.
Yeah.
He'll take you where you need to go.
Yeah.
Say, well, I might not get there fast. Well, you might not, but that's okay.
Right.
Generally, things that happen fast aren't good for you anyways.
That's
amen?
Right.
You know, fast food really shouldn't be called food.
Right.
It should be called fast stomach ache or fast, you know, toilet break or whatever. There could be a lot of things it could be called, but it shouldn't be called food because that would make you think that it's nourishment of some kind.
Yeah.
And God knows that if you could take a cheeseburger, stick it under the seat of your car, come back 8 months later and it looks exactly the same, God knows it probably isn't nourishing.
Yeah.
Amen? Praise the Lord. It might be preserving, but it ain't nourishing. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So we don't want things fast. We just want to what we want. This is why it's so important to learn to follow the Spirit. Man.
Yeah.
You know, we teach our people about, and some people struggle with it, but we teach our people about being full of the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues.
Yeah.
Why do we do these things? The Bible says it edifies us.
Yeah.
When we pray in other tongues, we edify ourselves. We build ourselves up.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So don't make it such a hard thing. Just edify yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, let the Lord lead you. Don't get weird about it. I think pretty much everybody in here is full of tongues. If not, you know, praise the Lord. Talk to us. We can get you there.
Right.
It's not a bad thing. But it helps us connect with the Father. Yeah. This is how I get out of so much trouble. Amen. Because the Lord talks to me. Amen. Well, praise God. Praise the Lord. But let's not be, you know, we don't have to be weird about it either. Amen. Just follow the Lord. Romans 5:17. Glory to God. He's a good Father.
Amen.
And you know what? I love this. You know, men help us. And men and women and mankind help us. You know, we're given ministers and people who preach the word and elders to teach us things. And that's all wonderful. It's great.
Yeah.
But we can't forget that the Holy Spirit is called our teacher for a reason.
Yeah.
He is called our helper for a reason.
Right.
He is called our advocate for a reason. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He helps us. He teaches us.
Yes.
So let's rely more on Him. Amen?
Yeah.
Romans 5:17. Praise the Lord. You know what? What our jobs really are as ministers is to help people just sort some of that stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? That's what we do. And that's what it should be. Hallelujah. Romans 5:17, we there yet?
Yeah.
Glory to God. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So we see here by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. So death came in and entered, sin came in and entered through one man's offense.
Yeah.
Praise God. And it is perpetuated by all men's offense. Amen. By all men's sin is what perpetuates sin.
Yeah.
That's the truth. You know, we can get mad at Adam all we want. We can get mad at Eve all we want. But the truth is, didn't you live in sin?
Yeah.
Haven't you done something sinful in your life? Well, glory to God, you're just as guilty as they are.
Yeah.
Amen. Death reigned through the one. And so we see this, that listen, death didn't reign through God.
Yeah.
Does it say that death came through God here?
No.
No, it said death reigned through the one, through one man's offense.
Yeah.
That's what. That's how death reigned.
Yeah.
God is not the author and bringer of death.
Yeah.
We see that here. And so anything that is surrounded by death, death of life, death of happiness, death of anything, is not caused by God.
Right.
It's not. It's caused through sin.
Yeah.
Sin is the worm that got in there, weaseled its way in, and separated us from that abundance of God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
In fact, when we just understand, all we have to do is understand what the very presence of God is like, what the Bible describes it as, we know there's nothing bad there.
Yeah.
The Bible says in heaven that there'll be no tears. Amen?
Right.
Well, the Bible says to pray that here is like there. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. That's what we're working towards. Amen?
Yeah.
But I have this circle in my Bible. Look at what it says here. Much more those who receive abundance of grace.
Yeah, that's good.
Who receive it.
Yeah.
See, receiving is always something on our part, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
I can't give you something and you don't get it unless you receive it.
Right.
I can come up to you with $1 million, a car. I can come up to you with $1 million in gold in a wheelbarrow. Praise the Lord. Pastor Jeff just brought me $1 million in gold, but I ain't going to do anything with it. Just going to sit there and look at it. You didn't receive it. It won't do you any blessed good unless you do something with it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the things of God.
Yes.
It's the best gold that we can possibly get. This word is the best gold. But unless we receive the word, unless we receive what's being taught, unless we receive what God is saying, it doesn't benefit us.
Yeah.
It just won't. We can't grow. We can't get into the blessings of God. You can pray all day long, but it isn't going to change the fact that you have to receive something.
Right.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
You have to receive the answer that you pray for.
Yeah.
Do you realize that people who pray and never believe that it's actually going to happen, they have started their prayer by refusing to receive?
Wow.
That's exactly what that is.
Right.
You know, when I used to pray that way. I didn't know how to pray when I was much younger and stuff. And I would pray and it was always like a crapshoot. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not in the place of receiving anything.
That's right.
How could God get it to me? I won't receive it.
Right.
I wouldn't believe it if it showed up.
Come on.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Had me pray for them on different things. I've seen healings. Praise the Lord. And I've seen people completely ignore them. They just think they got better.
Yeah.
You know what it was? Because prayer to most people is just like church. It's just something to relieve their conscience. It's all it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything to them. They don't really believe God's going to move.
No.
It's just something to relieve their conscience.
Right.
Most people, when they come to you, they ask you to pray. This is why I'm not just frivolous with my prayers.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't just automatically agree to pray to everything that people ask me for.
Yeah.
Why? You say, well, that's kind of mean. No, because some people don't want prayer. For some people don't want God to move on.
Yeah.
Why am I going to waste my time when you don't want what I got?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, why would I waste my time with that?
Yeah.
Like, am I doing a disservice by not? But I'm not. You know, I'm not talking about you. I mean, anybody sitting here, you know, you come to me and pray. I know that you want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about generally in the world. We got to look at things right, folks.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. If people won't receive it, they'll never have it. I've used that story many times of that woman that I worked with who came to me and she never expected. She asked me to pray for somebody, but she never fully expected it to even come to pass.
Uh-huh.
And when it did come to pass, they wouldn't recognize
that it was actually
happening. All she wanted to do was just be happy because he wasn't sick. That person wasn't sick anymore. But it had nothing to do with God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they actually think you're kind of goofy if you say that it was.
Yeah.
So why did you have me pray?
Right.
Isn't it more goofy to ask somebody to pray something you don't believe anyway?
Right.
Yeah.
But what does that do? It's the same. It's the equivalent of people saying, well, I'm sending you good thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Thanks a lot, but your thoughts don't do a whole lot towards
you. Yeah,
right.
Amen? Your thoughts don't help me. Praise the Lord. Last time I thought a lot of times that I needed money. It didn't help me get the money. Praise the Lord. It wasn't until I did something about it that I got the money. I thought lots of times, man, you know what? I think every day, man, I'm hungry right now.
Yeah.
I didn't get this belly by just thinking that I was hungry. Praise the Lord. I got it because I acted upon that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Now, see, this is the thing. People still, they'll look at the scripture, and they'll still think that God delivered it over to them.
Yeah.
But that's not what happened. It was man's action that opened the door to sin to come in. So man essentially, listen, we're having this, we had some kind of Arctic frost, polar vortex, you know, some Mountain Dew, something like that. I don't know. Where something's happening here. It's real cold. I guarantee you, if you leave your front door open, I don't care how, and your windows open, go home, turn, open all your windows, open your doors, and then turn your heat all the way up as high as it'll go. I guarantee your house won't be warm.
Yeah. Right.
Why? Because you open the door.
Yeah.
You open the windows.
Yeah.
You let it in.
Yeah.
When you let it in, like there ain't no stopping it.
Yeah. Right.
Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter how much gas you come have coming in the house. Maybe if you set your house on fire, it'll be good. But you know, that's it'll be warm. But that's about it. Amen. You can't. You won't be able to. Your furnace wouldn't be able to keep up, or whatever you heat with won't be able to keep up with it.
That's right.
You know why? Because you open the doors. And it's the same thing here. See, this is what men did. It wasn't that God ushered in sin and said, here you go. See, this is why people's thinking is so backwards and why the world doesn't get it. It's because this is the way people teach it. They're like, well, God, judgment, 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 judgment. Yes, there has to be judgment when things are wrong.
Yeah, right.
You can't stop that. There needs to be. It has to be. Especially when you're dealing with a just God.
Yeah.
But that is not the basis for all things. The basis for the need for judgment was because of sin in the first place.
Yeah.
It was man opening the door, and then men and women continually opening that door that ushers in the devil, that ushers in sin. Actually, the devil doesn't even have to do it. But sin corrupts. It's corruptive. It's corrosive. It's like acid. It's like cancer. It's like anything like that. You know, it has a way of getting in there and just changing things.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it does. So we see this, that it came to all men. Amen?
Right.
And this is just people not understanding the word. That's why they get it. For if by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That didn't make much sense to me when I read that at first. That it might abound. So I got to read, and I wrote this down. I even wrote this down today. When something abounds, it is exposed. It is hard to hide running over.
Right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. If Chautauqua Lake started rising and started running over the banks, everybody would be talking about it.
Yeah.
Why? Because the water would be abounding. See, what it's saying here, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. What happened was is that God wanted to expose the sin so we could see what it was that was destroying us. It wasn't God who was destroying us. God didn't cause death. Sin causes sin. Remember, we read that. The wages of sin is death. It's what's earned from sin. Sin was just causing death. But humans don't know that because at the time they didn't have the law. So God brought the law to them. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. All the law, you know.
Yeah.
God brought the law to them so he could expose the sin.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
See, under the law, then it was, oh, this is wrong.
Right. Yeah.
So then we get a clue at what's going on here. Amen.
Yeah,
that's good.
Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes, you know, you get a car. If you have a car, you've all been there. Where you have a tick or a knock or some kind of noise or something, you have no idea what it is, and it's frustrating to you. But you take it to a mechanic, and they know what it is. They a lot of times will know just what it is.
Yeah.
Why do they know what it is? Because they have knowledge of that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same thing is with the law. You know, it could be something minor. It could be something major. You don't know.
Yeah.
You just know that it's annoying. Well, the same thing is there's different levels of sin, but the law exposes sin to us.
Yeah.
It makes it abound. Amen?
That's good.
But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. See, so this is telling us the heart of God right here. It's telling us that here sin is abounding. Sin is like God's blowing it up. He's saying, okay, look, this is sin. Going to take the cover off. See, the devil's sly.
Yeah.
See, the devil didn't just come into the garden and just say, oh, you guys got sin, do this thing. No, he said, he started questioning things. And he's like, oh, look at how good it looks. And look how good it tastes. Just think about what that fruit would taste like, you know, in your mouth. And just, you know, if you think about lemons, I could start talking about lemons right now. And a lot of you would start getting, your mouth would start watering. And you could start feeling that, you know what I mean? This is exactly the same thing the devil was doing with Eve. As he was, look at how good this fruit looks.
Yeah.
And God said that you can't partake of this. But why would he keep you from some, and questioning everything about God. Well, it's the same thing today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing. But God pulls the cover off and says, nope, it's sin.
Yeah.
It's sin.
Yeah.
He says it's ugly. Yeah. It's nasty. It's vile.
Yeah.
It causes death.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that are sinful that don't look bad on the surface.
Right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. If you've ever been a teenager with hormones, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. There's times where it's like, ooh, that looks really good. That fruit looks really, I want to try me some of that. But there's something that comes with it.
Right, yeah.
There's things that come with it. See, when you pull, see, in the right context, fruit's good.
Yeah.
But in the wrong context, it'll cause death.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I said in the wrong context, it'll cause death. Because if it ain't meant for you, then it's not good for you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You know, there's certain, I think of one right now, poison ivy. We all know I love poison ivy. Talked about it in a while, so I might as well bring it back up. But you know, poison ivy gets berries on it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We make lots of berry pies. I love berry pies. Blackberry pies, blueberry pies, black and blueberry pies, hallelujah, strawberry pies. You can put anything in a pie, but you're talking berries, amen. You put berries, you know they're good, right? Praise the Lord. We bought one down in Pensacola. I didn't even touch it. I wish I would have now. I really want that. It was terrible, but it looked good, and I really want a pie that looks good right now, berry pie. But at any rate, poison ivy gets berries on it.
Yeah.
Birds love them.
Yeah.
Feeds the birds. They love them.
Yeah.
I would love them. I don't think you'd love them.
Yeah.
When was the last time you seen somebody make a poison ivy berry pie? It doesn't happen. Why? Because humans can't consume it.
Right.
It's not good for humans to consume.
Yeah.
Deer and dogs and everything else can run right up and rub up against poison ivy and everything. But I tell you what, you start rubbing up against poison ivy, it's going to have a different effect.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with sin. Some things aren't meant for you. And if it's not meant for you, it's going to cause pain. It's going to cause death. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I hope this is helping you here tonight.
Yeah.
Praise God. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. So we see this, though, even though sin reigns in death, praise the Lord, grace might reign through righteousness. That's living right before the Lord. You know, this is something that's hard for us sometimes to understand. But righteousness is not something that's unobtainable.
Right.
The Bible says that Christ makes us righteous before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a part that we have to play. We can't live like sin and expect Christ to make us look good on top of it. Because that's not going to happen that way. But and actually Romans here, all these chapters deals with all that. But you see, but God will make us righteousness. It's grace. It's the ability of God that makes us righteous. Amen?
Yeah.
And so God, this is actually, when we see that sin abounded, but grace, when sin abounded, the grace abounded more. That's pretty amazing because God came in and said, even though the sin is abounding and it wants to rip you apart and tear you up, I'm going to make my grace come in. I'm going to give you my grace.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. This is the mercy of God.
Yeah.
Do we really, I mean, this far into the message, can you really believe that God is just trying to remove from you?
No.
That God is just trying to hurt you?
No.
Can you really believe that if you screwed up a little bit today, that God's looking a way to, do you know this? This is what's so sad. That when you screw up, when you've missed it bad, even when you've missed it bad, do you know God is standing there looking for ways to get it right,
yeah.
to help you get it right?
Yeah.
All you have to do, oh, praise God, we'll get there. But all you have to do is repent.
Yeah.
You just go before the Lord. It just, you know what I mean? Now, we can't have a bad heart about it either. We have to live right, but you understand. You can't just go sinning and then say, oh, God will fix it because that's a bad heart. You know that.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
No.
Certainly not. Of course not. See, that's why so many Christians are living. They're like, oh, I'm just going to live. I'm just going to do it because I've been made free in Christ, you know.
Yeah.
That's error and that's just, it's wrong. It's dumb doctrine.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, if you really think that's the way it is, try that with your kids. You know what I mean? Let your kids live like that and see how you know it's stupid. Praise the Lord. So don't you try to do it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?
Right.
And that's exactly what I was talking about earlier. You know, there was times in my life where I lived in such horrible sin. I can't live in that sin anymore.
That's right.
I mean, there's still times I get tempted in some things and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't get tempted near into what I was into.
Yeah. Right.
You understand. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In Psalm 107:20, I love this scripture here. It says, he sent his word and healed them.
Yeah. Yes.
And delivered them from their destructions. He sent his sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. His word is Jesus. This was a prophecy of the coming Messiah. Hallelujah. He sent his word. His word heals.
Yep.
And delivered them from their destructions.
Yep. Right.
God is in the delivering business. He's in the saving business. He's in the preserving business. He's in the helping business. He's in the mercy business. Praise God. You know where this message comes from? I'm just going to tell you the truth. And I know it now. Because what we have here, just sitting here tonight, and there's others in our church that qualify for this. But what we have here is we have a group of good-hearted people who sometimes make mistakes. And sometimes you're going to beat up on yourself. You're going to let the devil come in and do that. And I'm just here to tell you, no more.
No more.
Don't let it happen anymore.
That's right.
Because as long as there's an ounce of you that's willing to try, that's willing to move towards God, he's willing to move. The Bible says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. What does that mean? I'll take a step towards God, he takes a step towards
you.
That's right. Take two steps, he'll take two steps.
Yep.
You understand? He's constantly being drawn to who's being drawn to him. So just, that's all you have to maintain, is that the desire to have more of God.
Yeah.
Amen? Praise the Lord. This isn't all going to get worked out here.
Yeah.
It's not all going to be perfect here.
Right.
We're not going to have just perpetual glory here on earth in this dispensation, the way things are now. Everything is not going to be perfect. We're not always going to have more than enough. Even though that God's provided it.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? It's not always going to look like it, is what I'm saying.
Right.
We're not always going to feel good.
Yeah.
We're not always going to be happy. We're not always going to be... But God always moves us. As we draw near to God, it brings us back into that place. And that's why the Word tells us. It tells us that you will keep him in perfect. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed there. What does that mean? You bring it back. It's drawn away. No, I'm bringing it back. Bringing it back. Bringing it back. Bringing it back to God. If we keep bringing it back to God, he's going to work it out.
That's right.
The peace will be there. The joy will be there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Destructions is a covered pit. It means like a covered pit meant to trap you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what sin does.
Yeah.
Your sin, that's what it does. It's a covered pit. What is it? It's a hidden pit. You know, something that you don't necessarily expect. That's what sin is. It's not always something that's blatant. It's something that's... their destructions is something that's... meaning our destructions are things that are just waiting there. They're lying in wait. All of a sudden, you'll be walking along. Everything's hunky-dory, praise the Lord. And boom, you're in a pit. And you're like, what do I do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus came to deliver us from that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because God loves us so much.
Yeah.
Turn with me to 1 John. Praise the Lord. 1 John 1. See, the word will set us free, folks.
Yeah, that's right.
God wants to help us.
Amen.
His goal, his word, the Holy Spirit, Jesus dying, the blood of Christ, it's all meant to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, really, a good church is one where the people start getting hold of this? And then start helping each other.
Yeah.
Start looking out for each other.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We shouldn't have to. We shouldn't have to wait for the pastor to call on us. We should be reaching out to each other.
Yeah.
This is why it makes God mad. But this is why it fires me up too. People who continually neglect the house of God.
Right.
It's because they don't really care for anything but themselves.
Right. Yeah.
When they come, they're there for them. If they stay, they're there for them. Praise the Lord. They don't ever... They might be nice. I'm not saying they're not nice people. I'm not saying they're not loving people. But people who do live like that are people that care about themselves and themselves only. They may tell you that they love you. They may tell you all this stuff, but they don't care. Why? Because they don't... Where do they care? They care about what's going on in your life when they're out doing whatever they're doing. No, the house of God was meant to bring us together so we can help each other when this devil comes after us. Because you know what he does? Praise the Lord. What about when somebody's sick? What about, you know, the Bible says that by one, 1,000 will fall, by two, 10,000 will fall.
Yeah, yeah.
Praise the Lord. The Bible says that where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
Yeah.
You know, if you agree with anyone else as to touching anything on earth, it will be done in heaven.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, how do you have agreement with one person?
Right. Yeah.
No, but wouldn't it be better to have agreement with 10 people?
Yeah.
How about agreement with 20 people?
Yeah.
How about agreement with 50 people?
Yeah.
How about agreement with 100 people?
Yeah.
You know why? You know what happens with agreement with 100 people? That's when we start seeing miracles.
Yeah.
That's when we start seeing the power of God fall so big that arms grow out that weren't there. Praise the Lord. The legs grow out. The eyes come back that weren't there. That you want those kind of miracles? That's what those kind of people forego.
Yeah.
And that's why I would rather people that won't get hooked up, I'd rather they go.
Yeah.
Why? Because all they are is drains.
Yeah.
They want everything to come to them. Everything is about them. Everything in life is about them. You just listen to them and you know that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Yeah.
I get mad about it. Not so much at the people, but I get mad at the lie, the deception. That people think that, you know, it's like, why do we do this thing? You know what? I would quit jobs that would keep me out of the house of God.
Yeah, right.
Why? Because the house of God is the most important thing.
Yeah.
I have. Praise the Lord. I've been willing to. Amen. I've been willing to give up anything that wasn't the plan of God. Why? Because it doesn't help. It doesn't help people. And I love and care about people. Fuzzy or something. Praise the Lord. 1 John 5:1-5. Did you find 1:5? Praise the Lord. Well, you gotta know, you gotta chop it, fuzzies every once in a while. Praise the Lord, floating fuzzies. 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
The message that we have heard from him, Jesus, and declare to you.
Right.
Guess what? I'm declaring the same message tonight.
That's right.
That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Right.
There's none.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know why there's no darkness in him? Because he doesn't live in sin.
That's right.
If he accepted our sin, there would be darkness in God.
Yeah.
He would fail to be the God he is, the God of love.
Yeah.
See, it's not very hard to understand the Heavenly Father when you just start looking at Scripture right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if we get all religious about things, you know, the Holy Ghost led me on this. If we get all religious about things, we could come up with reasons to condemn people, to shun people, to hurt people.
Sure.
But when you see the Holy Spirit working, it always leads us towards mercy.
Yeah.
Bible says I require mercy and not sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God always wanted.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You can't walk in darkness purposefully. Again, this isn't making a mistake, falling in trap of, you know, into a trap or something like that. You know, really, we can look at that scripture like this. That the trap that is set, you know, you don't purposely step into a trap.
Right.
If you purposely are stepping into the trap, you're walking in darkness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in your mind, you're darkened in your mind. People who purposely sin, they purpose to sin.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about people who miss it. I'm talking about people who purpose.
Yeah.
You know it's wrong. God's dealt with you, and God's dealt with you, and God's dealt with you, but you want it more anyways.
Yeah.
You want to go to it more. When you see people like that, again, not anybody in this room, but when you see people like that, that's what the Bible's talking about. Those are people walking in darkness.
Yeah.
Actually, the Bible says to shun, it really does say to shun people like that. Not to be. Why? Because what they'll become is they'll become a cancer. Like if we have people in a church that are like that, you know, God gives everybody a space and time. What's the space and time? Well, it's the amount of time that he gives somebody to change.
Yeah, right.
Or the Bible says repent. That's what repentance means.
Uh-huh.
You know, people come in. Nobody's perfect. How many know you weren't perfect when you came in?
Yeah.
Amen. Nobody's perfect when they come in. I don't care if somebody comes in off the street and they got stuff on them. I don't care if they've been dealing with stuff. God will help them. God will work it out of them. Amen. But you know, God does give them a space and time.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, if you see people that come and stay for a while and then leave, oftentimes, and more times than not, God is moving them on because what's happening is they won't change.
Yeah.
God has dealt with their heart, he's dealt with their heart, and he's dealt with their heart, but they refuse to change.
Yeah.
They say, I don't want to do that. They'll justify their sin. They'll justify why they do what they do.
Yeah.
You know, I think, of course, my life, my wife and I, our life is an absolute testimony to this. You know, we came out of wrong living, bad living. You know, we were fornicators. We lived together outside of wedlock. We smoked, we drank, we did, actually just before I was a drug user, all that stuff, you know, I was a Christian doing all this stuff. But you know, the Lord worked that stuff out of us.
Yeah.
He worked that stuff in, and pretty soon we knew that we had to change. And you know what? There was moments in our relationship where we got up to it. It was like, you know what? We really need to do this now. We need to get serious about this. And we would change it. And then God would take us a little bit further and a little bit further. Yeah. And see, that's the process. You know, John and Liz, they're a dear, precious couple. Do you mind if I use an example for you guys that maybe not something I shared with you before? We had somebody, and I use this because it's precious. They're just wonderful examples of God working in someone's life. Wouldn't you agree to that? Praise the Lord. Has there been any change in your life since the day you guys started? Yeah. But you know, John and Liz, they were like us. They lived together. You know, they weren't married. And they had some things they had to work out to get there and stuff. But you know, God brought them in, and they had opportunity. You know, I had opportunity as a pastor to be like, well, you got to fix these things that I knew weren't right. You know what? But I have been trained well enough to know that in time, people have the right heart. God will be able to work in them. Yeah. You know, and I remember them coming to me and just saying, you know, we're sensing these things and some of the different things. And I'm not going to get all personal and stuff, tell all the stuff that we talked about. But to make a long story short, there was adjustments that had to be made, several adjustments at different places in their lives. And they made them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they made them over a course of time. And it didn't matter that it took a little bit of time to do it. But you look at them now. Today, they're married. Praise the Lord. God's been increasing them, and he's increasing them this year. Amen. And just calling them into more and higher levels. And why is that? Because they're faithful. I remember when the Lord had me make them head of the cleaning ministry. Amen. And some people wouldn't have thought that was a big deal, but they thought it was wonderful and excited for it. And God will give them more and more. Why? Because they're showing the faithfulness in Lisa. Of course, we have other examples, but just I believe the Lord called that out there, you know. But we could have judged things when, we knew, I'll give you one example. Back in the day, I remember when Liz had first started coming, you know, we're friends on Facebook, you know, and if you're friends with us on Facebook, just so you understand, if you post crazy stuff on Facebook, we get to see it. You might end up being part of a sermon someday, you know, just saying, hallelujah. But, we're going to check later. We'll probably have everybody unfriended us now. But, you know, Liz was friends with us. I remember she had been coming for just a short time. And there was a picture, just a casual like picture of a family, casual family picture or whatever. It was a birthday party or something. And I'd never forget, Liz had a beer in her hand. You know, and we looked at that, we're like, oh, and you're like, that'll change, you know. Sure enough, it did. It's funny because they told us when they both came, they both smoked. They were smokers. They started hiding from us when we come home. We didn't realize this, but they were convicted. And we never said a word about smoking. You're like, smoking won't send you to hell. It'll just take you to heaven quicker. Amen. Praise the Lord. But they didn't want us to see it, so they started hiding. It's just funny how that works. But God worked it out, amen. And now they're drink free, smoke free. Glory to God, hallelujah. And they're Holy Ghost filled and doing the work of the Lord, and just wonderful examples. Honestly, and you know, God has me highlight people every once in a while. I'm going to highlight them. I mean, wonderful examples of what Christians should be, amen. And don't think that I'm just saying that, praise the Lord. And don't think that I don't sit there and say, well, because I used to do this, like, yeah, but you don't know the thing I've been dealing with. You don't know that. None of that stuff.
Yeah.
We'll all deal with stuff, guys. That's praise right. the Lord. Yeah, but right. You're being used of God. And yeah. God recognizes the goodness in you, praise the Lord, and wants to use it further. Praise the Lord.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So all the glory to God, exactly. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord, you know. But it's just people that listen. Hallelujah. And we got other examples. Of course, we can just use examples, but praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Do we read it? If we say then we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another.
Yeah.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How do you walk in the light and still need cleansed from sin? That's a pretty curious thing, isn't it? See, you're not going to be perfect. But if you walk in the light, what's your walk look like?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you're walking down the road, you can see different things, but you're still going somewhere, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're still heading in a direction, aren't you?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But now if you start just bebopping, if you look like a ping pong ball going down South Erie Street there, somebody might pull over and say, hey, what's going on here, man? And something's up. You know what I mean? But no, when you've got a destination in mind and you're heading towards that destination, I'm telling you, I don't know if you know this, but this is revelation from the Holy Ghost right now. If you're heading somewhere, you're walking in line with the best that you can with God, you might stub your toe once in a while. You might get tripped up a little bit. But as long as you keep going towards that destination, hallelujah, don't you let the devil rob from you. Any more, and praise God, any more than he has in them. Don't give him another ounce of your life. Just move towards it. Just keep moving towards it. Listen, you know, a walk is, there's all kinds of, it'll rain sometimes when you're walking. Just keep going. Sometimes there'll be clouds. Sometimes there'll be snow. Just keep going. Sometimes there'll be hills. But go a little slower, but keep going. Hallelujah. Sometimes you have to stop and rest, but just keep going. You know, even stopping and resting is, you can still be on the same trip and rest. Amen. You know, when we drive somewhere, and I've been taking longer and longer to drive anywhere, but when we drive somewhere, we'll stop some night in a hotel. You know, if we've done that before, going just going down south just a little ways. We're going to North Carolina. Didn't we stop at that one hotel I always wanted to stop at?
Yeah.
Down there in Hancock, PA, or
Maryland.
Yeah, amen. Hancock, just below PA border. Always wanted to stop at this one motel. Don't ever want to go there again. But we stopped there this one time, praise the Lord, because it looked cool and I wanted to stop. And that's the way I am sometimes. But we stopped there. But how many know we're still on the same trip? We're still going to the same place. We just stopped and rest a little bit. Listen, you can stop and rest a little bit. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you need to take a break. You know what I'm saying?
You need to take a break now.
Yeah. Praise God. Oh, praise. Take a break from that hotel. Glory to God. I'm fixing the clothes here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where am I? Verse 7. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There's a difference between walking in sin and having a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting having a little bit of sin.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We stay as far away from sin as we can.
Yeah.
But if there's something there that isn't perfect,
yes.
My God.
Come on.
Just keep going.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Just keep swimming. Yeah, just keep going. Dory, right? Was it Dory that said? Yeah, praise the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And not just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He cleanses from all unrighteousness. So if we confess them, if we've screwed up, if we've done bad, you confess your sins and he'll forgive you.
Amen.
So that's all right.
Amen.
It's okay.
That's right.
Thank you. Okay. We laugh about Dory. We just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep swimming.
Yeah.
Just keep going in the direction
that's
you were
right.
going because you know it was towards Jesus. It was good.
That's right.
Don't get tripped up on yourself. Amen.
Thank
Praise
you.
The Lord. I don't know about you. I preach myself happy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. If we say that we have not sinned and we make him a liar and his word is not in us, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He was never unrighteous. We always have righteousness through Christ. We always have the open door. We always have the way in. So if we do make a mistake, get over it. Repent and move on. Repent and move on. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to close in this. Go back to John 14. John 14. We're almost done here. All right. John 14, verse 6. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. Remember that scripture I just love to keep bringing up, John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. He will guide you into all truth. Jesus just said here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's going to guide you into the way that Jesus would have you go. He will guide you. He keep leading you back to that place. The word is the truth. We understand that. God, if we follow his Spirit, he will always lead us in the way that we should go. He will always lead us to the way that we should go. So let's not get tripped up by the flesh. Let's not sit here and be like all bent out of shape because we missed it here or we missed it there. I am not advocating. You understand.
Mm-hmm.
We are a church that preaches the word. We preach the truth. No, we preach against sin. I preach against sin because sin is ugly in the eyes of God. It's disgusting in the eyes of God. It's disgusting in the nostrils of God. He hates sin. God does not. He is not accepting of sin. I am not advocating that we just sin a little.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We do our best not to sin.
Right. Yeah.
We purpose not to walk in it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You need to purpose not to walk in it.
That's right.
But if you purpose to walk in the way, and you stumble along while you're going, God is there to forgive you. He's there to help you. If we confess it, if we move on, praise the Lord. Amen? So let's do that. Let's be people who encourage each other along this. Again, we're not accepting of sin. We're not light on sin. I don't want to promote that at all. Praise the Lord. If there's anybody who doesn't want to promote it, it's me. Praise the Lord. We're not backtracking on what we preach. Amen? But sometimes we need something that lets us know that God still loves us. Amen? That God's still there for us. Amen? And it doesn't matter how many times you screwed up. If you're willing to walk in the way that God will have you walk, then you will go all the way he has you to go. Amen?